Concord. Let's talk about Concord just a little bit. Let's just say something you're in accord with, that you can agree with. And, you know, the language is a necessity in really getting the real feelings from our Father's Word. This is why Paul would say, I speak in tongues more than you all. And of course he meant languages, because he could speak Latin, he could speak Greek, he could speak Hebrew, probably best of all, because that was his scholarship came under that language from the scrolls, Aramaic, probably all five dialects of the Chaldean or Syriac. So to milk from the meaning, we need to take that word concord, as it is in English, and see what the Greek was, what it means. And it's a word that probably you'll pick up on just like that. It's symphony, only it's pronounced in the Greek symphono, okay, or O. You all heard of a sympathy, you've heard of also. A symphony is a piece of music. It's something in harmony. It's something that harmonizes within, without, and everywhere. So to be in concord with something, even within your family, you must have harmony. And let's go past the family. Even with yourself as a Christian, you have two beings. You have a flesh being, and you have a spiritual being. And you must be in symphony with the inside man as well as the outside man. In other words, you can't have conflict within yourself. You've got to have harmony. You're never going to have peace of mind. Many people search for it all their life. Oh, if I could only learn. Well, it's before you. It's God's Word. And when you're in harmony with it, then basically, in as much as He created the world, you're going to be in harmony with it also. All but to walk out on a night and look up and see the beautiful stars, the very universe itself, and to see the harmony, then you have concord. Again, many people search for it all their life. Christ in His teachings gave us the key to that lock. How you find that. How you get along with people. But most of all, how you get along with yourself. Because until you can get along with yourself, I'm sorry, probably you're not very good company, and nobody's really going to work all that hard at getting along with you. That's just the way it is. Unless they really, really love you. All right? Then they might bend the peg just a little bit. See what languages do for you? They let you see concord. It's kind of a cold word, isn't it? But in a way, compared to symphony, it really is. It's now, even old figures of speech, they mean a lot more to you. Used to when some old boy would say, hey baby, you and I could make sweet music. You know, you have a better understanding. It means they'd sing a beautiful duet in harmony. Okay? That's what it meant. So it just takes you to a better understanding of all things. So perhaps my analogy is a little bit off, but if it's close enough, you get the idea. Words and tongues are a beautiful thing when you can understand them. When you don't understand them, you just miss out. It just sounds like a bunch of gibberish, quite frankly. Or they might say, well, that sounds like Greek to me. Well, it is. Symphony, but you do understand the English. I should be saying symphony, and symphonio, okay? To bring that togetherness, that oneness in Him. You know, you can take a beautiful song, and like, I don't have a good ear for music. That's why I sound so good in the shower, I guess. Because that's the only place they'll let me sing. Yeah. But one note off, and even an ear like mine can just, oh, You know, it just really, it gets you right here, you know. It's out of harmony, out of sync. And we just are not comfortable with things that are out of sync. So there's only one thing to do. Let's go to God's Word and see how He taught us concerning symphonia. Okay? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. Christ is beginning to build His followers, and He teaches them a little lesson here as we pick it up in this fifth chapter. Let's pick it up with the 30th verse, and it'll kind of just explain itself and fall in place. It has to do with getting along, okay? And it states, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against His disciples." That's to say, those that were following Christ, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" They were going in over here to a bunch of unsaved people, you know. I mean, they were government workers and so forth, and they were eating and sharing a meal with them. It didn't mean they were all getting drunk. Don't misunderstand that. They were having fellowship. Do you realize that today there are certain organizations that if you were seen out with an unbeliever, they would look down at you? That's what it's talking about. Why do you eat and drink with these unbelievers of God? It's awful. Here, we be holy men. Verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Unfortunately, many of the righteous were so self-righteous that they couldn't have been saved anyway. Okay. There's really one of the greatest sins in the world is to be self-righteous because you're fit for nothing. You're too good for anyone else because, I mean, that's what you say. And you would never talk to a sinner. "Oh, mercy, get away from me." But God sent His election here for the purpose of salvation. So how are you going to save somebody if you never get over where they're at and talk their language a little bit? By that I mean talk in a way that they can understand what you're saying of the better life, of the harmony with our Father. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, "I wasn't sent here to the so-called church that's righteous." And naturally, again, many of the scribes and Pharisees were self-righteous. And they said great prayers, and it was simply to be heard of men. One-upmanship. What's new under the sun? You'll see it on television or elsewhere. "I talked to God today." Oh, you did? "Yes, I heard from Him. He told me where to park my car out here." But, and you know and I know, if you haven't got enough sense to know where to park your car, God's sure not going to talk to you, okay? God speaks to man, but it's usually very important things. It's not what suit to wear or what socks to change. He only deals with people that are biblically literate, necessarily, outside of salvation. What I'm saying is, don't let anyone play self-righteous hypocrite on you. I would a lot rather spend my time with people that need salvation than I would a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. I would. They're not good company. And that's kind of what Jesus is saying, only in a real sweet way. Okay, 33. And they said unto Him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" Listen to His explanation, 34. And He said unto them, "Can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them?" He hadn't been crucified yet. He was still with them. They were being taught. They were showing how to minister, and they were being taught from the very Word of God Himself. That is to say, Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. Verse 35, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, crucified, that is, and then shall they fast in those days. But the famine, unfortunately, in these end times from fasting is not for bread, but for hearing God's word taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse. People are starving to death for truth. 36, and he spake also a parable unto them. This sums it up. Listen carefully. This is why we came here. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. You take a pair of old blue jeans. I mean, they've been this... Anymore, we've got this pre-shrunk business, you know, it's not quite as bad, but it's still some. You throw in new that hadn't been washed or bleached or roughed up, and it's going to pucker, right? You bet it's going to just pucker up, and there you're going to have a bright blue patch right on your knee, and it's puckered to boot. It don't look so good. Do you know what Christ was talking about? He's talking about if you take the real truth and dump it on some of these self-righteous churches that already have it, don't read God's word to me, Bishop so-and-so or poor brother so-and-so, and I'm meaning no denomination by that, would never mention one of them, they're all good, they're trying. But he's saying a lot of times, if you dump some truth in there, it puckers them up. It will twist them all out of shape. They may run you out the door. And it will look bad because you've got new truth, a new blessing from God's Word that you put on. Well, don't bother me with that revelation stuff, brother, because I'm going to fly away. I'm a butterfly. Well, unfortunately, that's not part of God's Word. It's just not written. As you well know in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 23, God says, I'm against those that teach my people to fly to save their soul. He doesn't want a bunch of escape artist wimps. He wants them men and women and children of God that will take the truth and stay in the field working, not drawn away by some false teaching. That's what he meant. And then he said something else. He said, 37, first I want to say one thing. Of the new agreeth not with the old in that verse 36. That word agreeth, guess what it is in the Greek? Symphonio. It won't be in harmony. And if you plant the truth, the real truth, that is to say, God's Word, clearly, plainly taught, letting it translate itself into the minds of the people, it won't agree with many of the church doctrines. Won't do it. Just won't fly. And unfortunately, some people have been in traditions of men so long, they're really not sure what the Word says. Always, don't listen to this man or any other man without documenting them in God's Word. He says that new piece of garment and that old are just not in symphonia. Not in harmony. It won't work. Verse 37, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. In other words, you take some church, first of all, look, you know these wine bottles were skins, alright? They were goat or lamb skins. And I don't know how familiar you are with leather. Paul was a leather tanner, so he was really familiar with it. But you tan leather and let it dry out and cure and get old, and there's no stretch to it. Well, now you know yourself, if you put new wine, it's going to stretch something. If you put it in glass bottles, in the night. Sometimes them old caps will pop. That's what they tell me now. So it's the same way with, if you put real truth in someone's system and they're so hard and calloused and set in their ways, it's going to pop them right out of their cork, and they're going to lose the whole thing. They're going to go the way of men and perish. Verse 38. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. You've got to kind of get yourself back to a renewing before you really get into Christ's real word. That way there's a little give to you. You know, a symphony, let me see if I can recall. A symphony is a piece of music that usually has three or four different movements to it, see? Now, if you don't have that movement, you don't have any give, and it's going to pop. All right? I just want you to see the analogy of what Christ is trying to say here. You've got to become a new creature, fresh, a new bottle, a new skin, really a new being, and realize that God, He that created all things, that put all things in harmony, is your teacher. He knows what makes it click. He knows what makes it work. He knows what makes you click because He created you. Why? He loves you. He needed you. He created you for His pleasure. You want documentation? Last verse of chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation. So, you want to get in pleasure by renewing yourself daily in His Word, if that be possible. Taking on and absorbing His truth. You know, it's all there if you'll just dig. I had a strange thing that happened this week, and this is a digression, but be that as it may. I don't know, not too many people, but occasionally you'll get some person that would like to debate me. You know, and that's all right, okay? But I have certain conditions before I will debate with someone. First, they have to know the languages, so I don't have to teach them before we debate. All right? This person, especially if it has to do with the subject this person wants, he said, this earth is only 6,000 years old. The Bible says it, said God created it in 6 days. I'll debate him anytime because I'll be the president of the Scientific Evangelical Organization of Florida. Yeah. Well, now how are you going to take a nut like that, pardon the expression, and teach him the Hebrew in the first verses? This is why they let this Christian group into universities to do documentaries on ancient remains, because we know that this earth is millions of years old. Why? God's Word states it in the tongues, in the language. But you get some Bible thumper that's willing to debate anything. I apologize, but I just want you to see, and I'm using that as an analogy in a sense, to show you how out of harmony Christianity is if you're not careful. You want to think for yourself. You want to stay in harmony with the Father. Hey, it'll be nice if you and I can be in harmony. But it's far more important that you be in harmony with God, in your mind, I'm talking, whereby you have peace of mind with Him. And no doubt, you know, if you're in harmony with the Father, you can harmonize with most anybody because you have a maturity about you then that lets you accept people, us, even with our weaknesses. Okay? I mean, you could even help a sinner. You could say, hey dude, that crack will blow your mind. Okay? You could help him out and say, look at yourself. You can help people. You can tell people where the dead actually are. Those things are very important in life, in being able to help people that just don't know where their loved ones are. and that God loves them. That puts you in harmony with God's plan. And the main thing, that brings His blessings. So when you think about that, be a new garment daily. For your garment should be the gospel armor. And that garment will withstand anything. You want to make a note of Ephesians chapter 6 and absorb what the gospel armor is? First of all, the belt. Belts I have trouble with. You know, I get one that just fits and then it just shrinks up. It's leather. And a leather will do. It plays tricks on you and stuff like that. But the real girt or belt is the Word of God. And boy, has it... It'll fit anyone. You know, it fits all sizes. It's the gospel armor. It's fantastic, and you get a renewing daily, and it's every piece of it. Every piece of that clothing is in harmony or symphony with God Himself. Just makes sweet music, all right? Well, I like that Greek word, concord. In fact, symphony, oh, okay? Okay, so with that, let's go to the book of Acts. Let's take Acts chapter 15. Now what's going on here in this Acts chapter 15? We've got the disciples, and along comes Paul, and Paul's been teaching Gentiles. All right. Well, some of those disciples weren't all that comfortable with that. In a sense, if you're not real careful, that could put you in the place of a Pharisee or a Sadducee, or somebody that's self-righteous. You know, if you thought God's word wasn't written to all of His children, the Gentile also, so that kind of puts you in. That's what's happening here. And Paul is being, well, he's getting the whole load of boats here from downtown, you know, the big boys. Not the reverends, but the disciples, apostles at this time, because they were sent forth. So with that having been said, so you know where we're jumping in here at, let's pick it up with Acts 15, verse 12. Acts 15, verse 12, and it reads, "Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. The healings, the truth, churches being established. I mean, those new bottles and those new breeches were really producing fruit, okay? 13, I mean, most of the letters in the New Testament were written to those churches. 13, and after they had held their peace, after they stopped talking and listened for a moment, James, and this would be James the Less, answered saying, 'Men and brethren, hearken unto me.'" Listen to me a minute. "Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. 15, and to this agree the words of the prophets." Now, I don't have to tell you by now what that word agree is in the Greek, do I? You got it. It's synthoneal. It's to harmonize. It's to be of one accord. I don't have to tell you how the Word of God itself harmonizes and is of one song and one accord to the words of the prophets, the Old Testament. "As it is written," and we're going to quote from Amos chapter 9, "After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, and he shall." Christ, of course, is the king, that is, the offspring of David. And if a person understands history and has paid any attention at all, They know even the travels of the stone which sets up the chief pillar. Verse 17. The residue of men, you might even say, think of this as the faithful remnant, okay, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Now, please do not read over that qualifier. I'm not talking down to you, but people overlook that. They say, well, it's just a silver card of blank. No, those that call upon his name. What is his name? Those that call upon the name of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. If they don't call on him, then they don't. This doesn't fit, okay? Saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. So you have a little bit of a qualifier there. Why do I say that? Well, you have so many people that will push off and say, oh, the Bible is full of promises, but I never get any of them. Why? They don't read the ifs. They don't read the condition. God doesn't give things away other than salvation for free. You've got to earn it. And you'll get some poor me baby every once in a while. Oh, God, the world just really has dealt me a mean hand. You deal yourself your hand. You can change anything if you get in harmony with God, if you call on his name and stop depending on men and be a man, woman, or a child of God. A doer. A can-do type person. Not some wimp. Right? I'm not talking about handicapped people. We take care of our handicapped people. We'll fight for them, whatever it takes to take care of our handicapped. I'm talking about normal, common people that are nothing but a poor me baby. Be careful of them. Let them grow up a little bit. Teach them how to take hold of their bootstraps and pull themselves up and be somebody. Verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Do you know them? When was the beginning of the world? Now, you know, if you want to say, well, when Adam came along, you missed one whole earth age. One whole entire earth age. For the Hebrew is very specific. In Genesis Chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period. And you know from Isaiah 45, 18, verse 45, he built it to be inhabited. In other words, it was a good place until Satan messed it up. And then in verse 2, the Hebrew is tuhu vuhu, which is to say the earth became void and without form because Satan messed up bad. And God could either destroy the earth age or kill about a third of his children. Have you ever thought about killing one of your own children? That's a bitter pill. He'd rather destroy the time and cause each to be born innocent, a woman, to make their own lot. How are you doing? How are you doing? Do it his way. Sing the sympathy. The sympathy. I keep getting back to the poor me babies, don't I? The sympathy of life and be happy. You know, it's so much better. It really is. It's so much better to be happy than to be unhappy. I know there are times in life that we all grieve and that we have to grow. That's common to all of us. You don't have a corner on that. But to feel sorry for yourself, I'm sorry, as far as this boy is concerned, you're going to have to do that all by yourself. Right? Because there's too many good things going on that I don't want to miss to get on a pity party. Let's build instead of throw it in neutral and coast a while. Let's do something. Okay. I really don't know why I'm just keep going on that, because none of you need that. You really don't. Maybe it's somebody out there in television. Wiggle that camera a little bit and we'll see you there. Okay. Well, verse 19. Wherefore, my sentence, or this is to say, my judgment, is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. That's to say with Mosaic law. You don't have to trouble them with it. Why? They're not of the 10 tribes or of the 2. So therefore, they don't have to follow everything that is written pertaining to Israel. That's why you must know the difference between law, ordinance, and statutes. Because some of it doesn't apply, be that as it may. It wasn't done away with. It just doesn't apply. 20, but what that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. What does that mean, things strangled? Well, that's cleanliness. They didn't have refrigerators when this worked, and if you didn't wring a chicken's neck, it wouldn't keep 5 minutes. It was polluted. Had to be bred. Your animals had to be. It means don't eat choked chickens, all right? It's just common sense, all right? So, 21, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. That just keeps going on. 22 to complete. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Oh, Woody, they sent him out. But there you have it. In other words, God's word is in agreement and in harmony with Israelites, with Judah, with the rest of the tribes, Manasseh, Ephraim. The whole word and all Gentiles is in harmony. There's nothing wrong in it for you. It fits everyone. By that I mean everyone receives a blessing from it. And when you're in harmony with God, don't let anyone take your prize from you. You hang on to it. You claim it. It is yours. God created it for you. So, hey, all I can do is teach. If you want to let somebody rip you off, have to it. But they're not ripping me off. You know, if I've got a promise, I'm taking it. I'm claiming it. It's mine. It's from my Father. You should feel the same way. And I don't mean to be belligerent in that. But why do without when he has it there for you for just having a little bit of wisdom and knowledge? True wisdom, true knowledge. You all know Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 tells you the secret to knowledge and wisdom. And if I may correct one Hebrew word from fear to revere, which it truly is, in beginning to revere God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Why? Hey, he sent along this set of instructions that when you put your life together in this world, it'll go pretty good. Or you could be one of those that jerks it out of the box and say, well, I could put that together. Yes. There's only 450 pieces, and you know my mind. He puts it all together, and here's a big chunk left in the box. Where that went? Yeah. So he's got to start all over. Well, sometimes in your life, if you don't put it together with the symphony of God, the harmony in which he sent this set of instructions, I'm sorry, he's not going to bless you. You can call him names, you can have a falling out with him, or anything you want to do. All he's trying to do is, like you would a child of yours, is chastise you. He won't say it, but how much faster it would be sometime if somebody did. It's like, hey, dummy, stop feeling sorry for yourself and read the book. Read the instructions and you won't be doing those silly little childish things. Some people have to learn everything for themselves, don't they? All of us are a little guilty of that, okay? Just a little bit, all right?
Due to contractual television time commitments, we are unable to bring you Pastor Murray's November Sunday messages in entirety. If you wish to order an audio tape or VHS tape with these complete messages, you may order our audio tape item numbers 987 Concord or 988 Rewards of Righteousness. The suggested donation for audio tapes is $4 each. You may order both messages, Concord and Rewards of Righteousness, on VHS tape, which is our item 60.39. A suggested donation for our videotapes, $25 each. And now, back to Pastor Arnold Murray.
Luke 15. We're going to come down to the 20th verse. And I'm just going to tell you, you all know this is the prodigal son. I'm going to use this word in a little different way. But you want some real maturity, and probably I'll be teaching this on three levels. You receive it whichever level you're at, okay? The prodigal son took his movable goods. He didn't take his inheritance of the farm. Okay. The Greek is very specific. He took, let's say, his liquidity. Does that click? That means his cash money, right, that he had on hand. He took it, and he went down, and he had more friends than you could shake a stick at. Joe's in town, and Joe is buying everybody drinks tonight, and we got women, and we got, I mean, we got it all going for us here. Just come on down, Joe's paying. Well, Joe ran out of money, and Joe ran out of friends. Don't know why it works that way, it just does, okay? And poor old Joe ended up in a hog pen slopping hogs and eating part of their food. And he finally, "Hello, Joe. My daddy's servants eat better than this." Now, I done played the fool. Because I know if I go back to my daddy and just ask if I can work, he'll feed me better than eating this hog slop. Okay. So off he goes. He heads back for home, all right? Verse 19, and when he finally gets there, he realizes, "And I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose, he got out of that hog pen, and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and heard compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What this has to do with God's elect and those of salvation, saying those that have free will. God's elect were chosen, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, before the foundations of this earth. Greek verb katabo, Satan's overthrow. Okay? They've been with him always, working in that field, teaching his word, planting seeds, living that right life. Okay? But some people like to play. Okay, so what I want you to know is, don't you ever use an excuse, "Well, am I serving God? As I'm just jealous of these people that come in here at the last minute, and I've got to share with them." Don't you ever have that attitude. That's wrong. It's a sin. Because that's what it's all about, is helping people. Okay, now that's what I want you to see from this. His dad saw him yet a long way off, which means what? He was looking for him. The dad is our Father God. And he's looking for those children to come home. But the father, about 22. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." I mean, that's like putting on the gospel armor and getting rigged up, okay? 23. "A ring meant authority also." You know that without me saying it. "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." 24. "And this my son was dead." He was spiritually deader than a hammer. He was, the Greek is mortal, liable to die. "And is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. That's something to celebrate. You know, it's written in one place that even the angels rejoice when someone really says, "Father, I love you." It doesn't mean coming up before some church and falling down on your knees and whatever. It means telling him that, not everybody else. Letting him know that you want to live for him. 25. "Now his elder son was in the field," and this is one that's chosen and went to work early in the morning and stayed there. "And as he came and drew near a night to the house, he heard music and dancing." What do you think that word music is? Music is, he heard sympathy. No, I'm teasing now. Had a lot of harmony going on. singing, dancing. But the word is there. Things, there was harmony there. Never let harmony upset you. Okay? Think about this now. It's important. Don't be jealous and let harmony upset you. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. I mean, he was one of the head honchos out in the field. I mean, he was the boss, the straw boss, under the man. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Everything is goody-goody. And he was angry. Jealous would probably be a better word, but a little anger mixed in with it, because jealousy is probably one of the quickest hammers on the pistol of jealousy there is, okay? And would not go in. Therefore, I've just got my feelings hurt. That's the only way to say it. It's just hurt feelings, period. Therefore, come his father out and entreated him. The old man's going to try to make it right. And he answered and he said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, if you're a student of God's Word, you know what God has in store for you. You've read it concerning the Zadok, the Hebrew word just, in Ezekiel 44, speaking of the millennium age. You know what your reward is. Man, it surpasses a fatted calf all to pieces. I mean, you're one of the most fortunate people in the world. So don't get in a hurry to collect it. Okay, we got work to do in the field, getting these poor misguided children back in the sheepfold. All right? Verse 30. You never did that for me. Well, don't you ever get disgusted with God. That's what this is talking about. Okay? Get on a pity party. You pull one around me and I got a 13-sized boot. You know? 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. 31. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. You've been with me all the time. You were with me in the first earth age. And all that I have is thine. That's why you want to read the will that God left you in for the Zadok, which is simply a Hebrew word that means the just, the elect. All right? It's everything. God said, don't mark them off a square foot, because I am their inheritance. God himself is your inheritance. You can read it in Ezekiel 44, beginning with verse 25. Verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead, spiritually dead than a hammer, and is alive again, was lost and is found. That's the name of the game, my friend. So I wanted to cover that faction of music's symphony, harmony, to let you know that even God's very best can work up a little fit of jealousy if you're not careful. You've got to watch it. Don't be jealous when God blesses our brothers and sisters. Give them a talent. Everybody deserves that moment of beauty, of being changed, of having the Father put his arm around them and give them special blessings as they come into the fold of work. All right? In closing, 2 Corinthians 2:9. I'm not really doing as bad as I thought I was when I hit passing gear back there. When I noticed that, we're catching up fast here, okay? So, 2 Corinthians, these poor old pages are sure getting thick. In this wet weather, damp weather, humidity. Chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to take it here at verse 11. And I want to tell you what this is about. This is about who you yoke yourself to. Okay? Who you yoke yourself to. Now, yoke doesn't mean to plant a seed. This means you absolutely hook yourself up with them and take part. Naturally, if you're yoked, picture two oxen. If they're yoked together and one goes here, the other's got to go too, right? If he don't come unhooked, that's where he's going. So there's one thing to help somebody, but don't get yoked to them. Got it? Okay. Let's say we got a drunkard. Well, for you to become, to yoke yourself to the bottle also is never going to help him, because nobody listens to a drunk. Period. It's just the way it is. I said, nobody listens to somebody that, brother, I always share the truth with you. I see a beautiful vision. It's right there. Oh, it's all about, did you see it? Now, who would listen to a nut like that? That's what you call high, okay? Maybe a little tongue, but that didn't have no bad cold or allergy either, And so, nobody listens to somebody like that. Don't ever kid yourself, okay? Don't yoke yourself to them. It doesn't hurt to take names and kick dragon every once in a while around them. It doesn't hurt to tell them the truth. But don't yoke yourself with them. Don't reverse this back to the part you would be guilty of where we opened. I don't go around those sinners. Well, that poor sucker needs help worse than anybody I can think of. Okay? I'm talking about somebody that's bombed out. Now, sometimes you have to wait a while before you can help them. And where were we here? Let's see. We're going to pick this up. Paul's telling you here sometimes how rough it can be being a Christian if you get to be a poor me baby. But God will always see you through it and bless you more than anybody else. And you know what? Some people say, well, I just hope I don't have no trouble. Trouble will make a better person out of you. You know what? Tells you how much you got up here. Because God promises you in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, or is it 23, whichever, that never is he going to allow you to be tempted or troubled with more than you can handle, and he'll always give you a way out. Do you believe the word? Hey, you're going to find a way out. God promised it. If you claim that, and if you meet those conditions, so a little trouble sometimes can be a blessing in disguise. Oh, but don't you hate it? Yeah, I do. But it's good to work out of it sometimes, It really does make you a better person. Okay, and hey, sometimes it's painful even. But even that's good for you. God doesn't want a hothouse lily that's going to run the first time Satan blows his bad breath on you. All right? He wants fighters, warriors. Verse 11, chapter 6, to conclude this lecture. And it reads, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. I mean, we haven't held back any truth in the Greek, and he says, and I love you with all my heart. 12, ye are not straitened, that is to say, in us. In other words, you haven't strained our relationship with you, but ye are straightened, that means crammed in your own bowels. That means in your own inward parts. You kind of crammed yourself up. And that's why, beloved, you've got to find harmony within yourself. You're two people. If you don't believe that, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 sometime. And if you can't believe you're two people, by that I mean you have a spiritual body and you have a flesh body. Now, the flesh body is not as smart as the spiritual body. The flesh body is very smart. If it gets hungry, it'll say, hey, if you don't feed me, I'll die. Stop what you're doing and feed me. God, I just got to have a Coke. It'll talk to you that way. How strong do you listen? You say, sit down and shut up, and I'll get to you when I get to you. Okay. You take charge. So, you have two people. When you die, this flesh goes back in the ground, and it ain't never coming back out unless somebody digs you up because they're suspicious of something you might have done or somebody else might have done. It's there. and you step into this beautiful body that is your inner self, and you talk about rapture. Father may be standing and I beside you, but you're going to raise to that higher level. That's what the Greek word means. You must understand dimensions. People want, it's up, it's a higher dimension, but it might be right there beside you, okay? For one dimension does not interfere with another. And if you don't know what I'm saying, put it on the shelf. But this spiritual body is instantly returning to the Father that gave it. Why? He loves you. Okay, so you get to fighting within yourself, is what he says, meaning you bring a lot of this on yourself. We didn't do it to you. 13. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. You return our love, and you'll find out that in returning love, it makes you a larger person also. Okay? 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship? Fellowship means a fellow worker. Are you a fellow worker in God's work with an unbeliever? I don't think so. You may work with one on the job, doesn't have anything to do with it. But if you yoke yourself to an unbeliever and decide you're going to help somebody spiritually, you got a heap of trouble. You're dragging a lot of dead weight. Okay. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communication hath light with darkness? Zippo. He said it's that common. Why in the world would you hook yourself up with a non-believer to go do God's work? Now you talk about cramming yourself up. That would be cramming yourself. Well, this dear brother says he's a Christian. I think I will take him with me to talk to this person. Well, it just so happens that this guy, you believe light and he believes darkness. Okay? This dude over here says you got to go to church on a certain day of the week. You got to go to bed a certain time at night. And you got to believe this and you got to believe that, whether it's in God's Word or not. And you're going to take him with you? I don't think so. I think it'll be a mess. Because you can't believe in traditions of men and believe in God's Word, because the traditions of men make void the Word of God. Analyze always. Use wisdom and good judgment. Verse 15. And what concord? Boy, this is why we came here. Here's the title of this lecture. What kind of a symphony, harmony, hath Christ with Belial, with the Antichrist? There isn't any. Can't be. No way. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's to say, in all their wisdom they become fools. Okay, that's just common sense when it comes to saving lives. There can be no harmony between Satan and our Father. And what agreement, like word, kinword, hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple, you're the many-membered body of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. And the Holy Spirit does dwell in you, so don't you go yoking yourself up to someone that is not going to help you proceed in God's Word. Because if you say, well, I'll have somebody to agree with me and the Lord. No, you won't. All they'll be is an anchor. A yokeman is supposed to pull their part of the weight. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And when God is with you, you can accomplish whatever you set out to do. I mean, you know, even a little old country church in Arkansas that was established in a roller rink with at most 120 people is the largest ministry household-wise by television around the world. Over 100 million homes. How did it happen? Ask him. Ask yourself. You did it. Why? We don't yoke up to nobody that don't know or don't want God's Word. Period. Okay? And make no apologies for it. Let God's Word speak and let man hold his peace. 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, unfortunately, Christians have this habit of, oh, I don't want to go around them sinners. You see, you're going to blow it again if you're not careful. That's what you came here for, was to help sinners. The word touch, in the Greek, translated attach, and read it again. It doesn't hurt for you to go to them and talk to them, but and attach not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hey, you want God not to receive you? Just go ahead and hook up with one of them in ignorance. God doesn't wink at ignorance. Not when he has sent you simple instructions. Okay? 18. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Oh, my word. He worked a female in there again. That just upsets some of the revolving web so bad. That God uses women just like he does men, doesn't it? I don't know what upsets them about that so much, because they know women are smarter, you reckon, or what? I don't know. But anyway, it says, my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And that's the way you do it. And that's how God operates. In harmony. You know, if you ever want to find out how difficult it is to not work in harmony, someday put it upon yourself that you have to prepare a very meaningful, filling lecture for our Father and have turmoil around you. You can't even work among turmoil to be creative in our Father's Word and allowing Him to lead or meditate. And that's one of the reasons, don't ever try to call me in my office. There ain't no phone there. Never has been and never will be. Okay? No telly-telly. Simple need. Do you realize full phone? Do you ever work with the languages? S-U-M-P-H-O-N-E. You got a phone? The Greek word means here. In symphony. Do you have ears to hear? Can you hear God's truth? The simplicity that is within it? Always set yourself in the right atmosphere to absorb His truth, whereby you can hear the beautiful heavenly music. For His words do sing. They cry out to be understood in the simplicity in which they're written. So get in that place, in that moment, and swallow it. Just enjoy every moment of it. And take that word in and receive God's blessings. Father, we thank you for sympathy, for the symphony of thy word, Father, and the sympathy too, Lord. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness, Father. We come repentant. And we ask that that harmony, Father, just saturate this family all around the world, Father, in thy word, Father. Use us. We ask it in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The book of Peter. Here we have two books, 1 and 2.